I'm here on a job site with Tim, who owns his own electrical contracting business.
Three employees and two work trucks.
Tim traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance. We're positively here where he needs us most.
They sure are.
With step-by-step help on all his insurance needs, all for shockingly low rates.
Shockingly low, huh?
Just a little bit of electrician humour. Do you get it?
I got it.
You know, it feels like we have a real connection. All right, I'll stop.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at Geico.com and see how much you could save. It feels good to Geico.
But we rolling, man. We What's rolling. Up, good people? We are back with another episode of Daddy Issues. Mm-hmm. I got Doughboy in the house.
Doughboy, thank you for having me, my good friend.
Oh, man,
Tony
thanks
Baker.
For coming through. You know what I'm saying? Keon is all trying to get the coronavirus. That's what he's trying to do. He's trying to get it at this point. He keeps getting on these ships.
Oh, the ships?
Man, he just be like, I got another
I got to throw caution to the wind.
Yeah.
Type stuff.
Every time you look at the news, the quarantine cruise
it's getting
ship.
It's getting ridiculous,
man,
out
so
there
like,
in the streets.
So he's at sea right now. So, but luckily you pulled up.
I did.
You are dad.
Yeah, I am. I have a daughter.
How old is your daughter for the people that don't know?
She's 14 years old. We actually have a podcast called Girl Dad, the podcast.
Man.
So we're going to be changing the name soon. But yes.
14.
It's different, man.
You got a full teenage girl in these streets.
Man, it's stressful.
Yeah,
it's stressful. I mean, I think it's stressful when you have a child of any gender, but just as a father, just knowing how ridiculous I was in my pursuit of girls when I was younger, I just be like, man, damn, I hope she just don't really get into boys till she's 45. That's what I would prefer.
Now, are you more scared of how she's acting or more scared of how the boys are?
At this point, I'd just be more scared about the boys because she's not really that into boys. Like, you know what I mean?
Okay.
She just be chilling. She's more into school, into her extracurricular stuff. So she, if she is into boys, she's hiding it very well from me because I can't see it. And you can usually tell, you know, with kids.
You?
I would like to think so. You couldn't tell when your boys was having a crush on a girl?
I would have to ask. I would never sense it on my own. I would always have to ask, and then, you know, they would tell. Because I would always check in and be like, who y'all got a crush on?
What y'all out in here doing?
And then they'd be like, well, actually.
It was funny you should ask.
Renee is looking pretty good. She was drinking the chocolate milk. And then, so, you know, but I had to ask.
Right.
So it was never like, you know, me sensing it. Because I'm not usually around the boys and their peers at that age, like when they were younger. So,
right.
You know, picking them up from school, that was the only glimpse I would have.
What's
Unless it was
on.
Like their core group of friends where they were like, can I go over Nathaniel's house? Can I go over this?
Over Roderick's house?
Yeah, so, but, you know, me seeing them interact, I could never tell. So
I think that the biggest key is just to make sure you have the communication thing going with them. I think that's the best part of parenting my child is that we just talk about everything. So I don't feel like we have a ton of secrets. And I don't really parent her like my parents parented me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I feel like my parents were just like, don't do this, don't do that. And that's just what I said.
And they left.
Yeah, they just walked out.
We never did nothing that you was thinking about doing ever in life. And then they slammed the door.
Exactly.
But they didn't even leave the house. They were just on the other side of the door standing there.
Yeah, we just told him.
We didn't have nowhere to go, though. So,
But I did find out recently that apparently my daughter has been in two relationships.
Oh, so she is in the boy.
Yeah.
How
she
you
was
go
in,
from,
in eighth grade.
Wait. Paul, how you go from, I don't think my daughter's in the boys, to finding out she had two relationships?
Well, because currently I don't feel like she's that into boys. But apparently eighth grade was a different time for my child. So she was apparently in a relationship for 8 months.
8 months?
According to her. But when you ask them, what does that entail? It's nothing. It's maybe eating lunch together every once in a while, writing a letter here and there.
Yeah.
She still hasn't had her first kiss.
Okay.
So, yeah. So she was with that guy for 8 months, and then they broke
what
up.
What was his name?
I don't even know. I don't even be listening
Steve.
To these guys.
I'm going to just go with Steve every time.
And then the other dude she dated, they just dated for a week.
Wow.
And he broke up with her and let her know it wasn't working out. I was like,
what working what wasn't working out?
Working
the week?
Out.
Like, yo,
that's a very small sample size of a relationship.
I'm just not finding, you know, what I need for that click.
That's why I feel like kids shouldn't date. Because, I mean, really, what do you even know about life at that point? You know the scary thing, though? A couple of my daughter's friends are already pregnant.
Oh. At 14?
15, 16.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just like, I could not even imagine what would go through my mind if my child came home like, yeah, bun in the oven.
Man.
That would just be weird.
You're going to be a young granddad.
Nah, man. That's where I would follow my parents' footsteps. Like, you know, like they used to always tell us, I ain't going to be raising no grandkids.
And then show up.
Yeah, they was absolutely raising.
Because she's 14, so you was what, 20?
I was 26.
26. Okay.
When she was born.
You started a little later than me.
How old was you?
I was like 22.
Dang, that's still really young.
It was mad young, man. I was a fresh 22, too.
Do you feel like you missed out on life becoming a dad so young?
I ain't missed nothing.
Because you wasn't really out there in the field like that, kicking
it.
And,
you know, what I missed, the club, going out to, I did all that. You know what I'm saying? Like, you
that's
know,
how you got the kid.
Right. You know, I feel like I didn't miss nothing because, you know, I ain't had the money to travel.
Right.
You know, so it wasn't like, yeah, I was a traveling man. I wasn't doing that with the little stick in the knapsack. I'm traveling.
What were they putting in those in cartoons? That little knapsack.
They would run away and do the little knapsack with the polka dots on it and just leave the house.
Not knowing where they going. What you got
in there? A shirt? A can of sardines? That was it. That's going to last you 1 hour. But yeah, so I never really felt like, oh, I missed out, you know. Especially now, you know. Now I'm like, you know, living life to the fullest now. Right. But that just came with, like, finding my career path more so than anything. So,
right. But, yeah, because I definitely feel like having kids. Do you think that there's a big difference between if you have a boy or a girl for your first child? Because I definitely feel like when you have a boy, it's just, oh, man, get up, be tough, da-da-da-da.
Yeah.
And with a girl, it's totally different. It's how are you feeling? Are you okay? Like, it's a lot. Do you feel like there's a difference between?
I think people put the difference on it for sure, even though there shouldn't be, because I do feel like, you know, we don't value the feelings of males like we do the feelings. Like with girls, we'd be like, oh, are you okay? How you feeling? This, that, and the third. But with boys, stop crying. Get up.
It actually is very toxic when you think about it.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Because we actually teach young men to suppress their feelings, to not talk about it. Then when they grow up, they don't know what to do with them, and they end up acting out in different ways.
Exactly. Because of all this repressed shove down of, like, emotions, like if you're crying too much, if you want. And I've been guilty of, like, all right, man, you know, on occasion. Like, you know, if it's something minor, I'm like, what you crying for in this situation? But, like, you know, the deep stuff, I'd be like, let's talk about how you feel.
Yeah, because I feel like there's a difference between whining and crying. Like, if you're just whining about stuff, it's like, hey, man, knock that off. But if you're crying, then you might be, you know,
because, you know, some kids be like, you ever see the kids in the supermarket?
Just that
no tears,
tone,
no nothing. And then you walk up on them, shut your ass. It ain't even your kids. You just pull up your shopping cart, pull up slow, shut your ass up in the cereal aisle.
My dad used to always say that. Why did our parents used to say things like, I'm going to give you something to cry about? Why would you want to give someone something to cry about?
Because they whining. That's the BS whine. That's the dollar store whine, the cheap whine. We want that real
that
wine.
Box wine.
Oh, man. You want that upstate California wine. The wine country. But and that's the sad part between, because, you know, I've always wanted a girl. Not always. I did want a boy first. Mm-hmm. And I was like, yeah, now I want a girl. And then so I got two boys, but it was like, for years, I have flashes of like, man, I think having a girl would be nice.
Girls change you.
Because I think I would be a great girl dad. You know what I mean?
Man, because girls, man, it's because, you know, I was with my daughter the day that she got her administration package.
Oh, okay.
That whole thing. And so it was crazy because she hadn't been with me. She had been living with her mom, and she came down with me for summer vacation. Mm-hmm. I had no idea of what
to do.
Right.
So my biggest thing was just like, oh shit. Like I called Kev up. I'm like, Kev, man, she's having a baby. He was like, I don't know, man. I got sons.
Right.
I didn't know.
I don't know why you called Kev.
I called Kev. Like he offered no. I didn't know what to do. So I just took her to the store and just spent like $200 on every type of pad.
$200?
But I bought a bunch of snacks. I bought her comfort food. I didn't know what to do. I was just like,
you got the Ben and Jerry's ice cream, Oreo cookies, the different flavors. You got the regular black, the little vanilla joints.
All that stuff. And I really didn't even know. I realized my ignorance on female anatomy when I tried to explain.
Right.
It, I was just like, this is going to happen once a month. You can have kids now. Listen, I didn't even know how to explain a period to a child. So, but the dope thing about it was that I was there with her. Uh-huh. You know what I mean? Yeah. I think that matters the most is that they'll remember. Even though I was a bumbling mess, she'll remember that. Like, man, at least he was trying.
He tried. And it's important. It's important for young girls to know that, you know, that time of the month is not some gross, super nasty thing, because that's the stigma that's put on it. Like, oh, you know,
cramps,
and like dudes be like, I don't even want to hear it. Right. You know, like you gotta let women talk about it, because it's gonna happen. Ain't nothing they can do about it. It's gonna happen to all females. So it's like, let them talk about it.
It's crazy too, because like I even notice visible emotional mood swings for her. One day she was just tripping off of nothing.
Yeah.
And I was just like, yo, what are you talking about? And then I just turned around. And then she was crying.
Yeah.
And I was just, and my daughter's just not a crier by nature. That's just not. And then I was like, Kiara, why are you crying? She's like, I don't know. And then I was just like, is it that time? And she was like, yes. I was just like, it's so crazy, like, to see the actual physical shift of emotion of a child because of something that's going on. It's crazy, man.
And it's easier to see, like, when it's your child or even, like, a friend or a relative. Because sometimes when you with your actual girl, you be like, man, come on, man. You know what I'm saying? you think it's about you when it's not and all these other factors. But when it's, like, a child that you know you did nothing wrong in the moment, and they just start crying over a bowl of cereal. You're just like, man, what's happening?
What's going on?
You saw the exact mood shift.
Bruh, it was crazy.
You turn around, you get the milk out the refrigerator, you turn back around, it's full tears. It's full Tyler Perry movie, bad wig. She got a bad wig on. Full hard cry, like slavery cry. And then
it's crazy to see it, man. But it's definitely cool, man. I want to ask you this, because you and I are comparable in age.
Uh-huh.
And
I think you're older than me, but keep going.
I'm 40 years old.
I think you're really 45.
But now that, so my daughter is 14. Your sons are, of course, a little bit older.
Uh-huh.
Do you want more kids? Because I really do, and then I don't at the same time. And that's a very weird space to be in.
Not really. I mean, I think it's a common place to be in, actually. I think we all, a lot of times, you know, there's some people that be like, I'm good. I'm out the game. Right. I'm good. I never wanted one to begin with. Don't even think about talking about it. I got my balls clipped. I got my whole sack taken off. Just shaft down there. Some people are just like, nah, we good, bro. Don't even mention it. But then I think a lot of times, a lot of people go back and forth in emotions, so I think it's normal to. But a lot of times we don't want to do that start over phase.
That's the hard
baby
part.
Phase.
The
is Google trash.
Gaga. But it's trash, but then it's not. Like the first 3-4 months, it's like, oh God, I can't even hold their heads up.
Garbage.
But then, like, 6 months to like two, it's lit. They're learning stuff. You know what the coolest thing about kids at that age? Feeding them foods for the first time and seeing their reaction.
Yeah.
Like when they eat squash, they just be.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, so, I mean, that part of it I'd be wanting to do, but then I'd be thinking, I always think like in for the future, I'm like, I'm 40.
Yeah.
So if I have a child now, the youngest I would be is 41.
Right.
And then I think high school graduation, 58, that's almost 60.
Yeah.
There's
a lot of old parents out there, man, especially these celebrity parents. They be sued. Like George Clooney's first child, I think he's like in his late 50s when he.
Really?
Yeah.
Sheesh.
He didn't have any kids until, you know, he was in his 50s, I believe.
Wow. Because
this whole time he never had kids, and you're looking at George Clooney, he been cracking since the 90s.
Wow, he really has.
Yeah, he hung in there. But like, I think about, I always do the age math in my head, I'd be like, all right, so when Serene's 20, I've always done that. So I'm 42 now. Uh-huh. My son is 20.
Okay.
And my youngest son is 18. So it's just like I'm always doing the math. So I'm like, man, all right, so if Serene had a kid now, I'd be, you know, a 44-year-old grandfather.
Well,
you know
I do the same thing with numbers in
my
head.
Yeah, I'm always doing the math. And then, all right, let's say the grandkids have kids when they like 20-something. I'll be a 60-something.
Wow.
Great, you know, right. Great, you know, something. So I'm like, I'm trying to go down the line, like, right. You know what I'm saying, still be alive and robust.
Out here.
Yeah, because I want my grandkids to be like, man, my granddad young. You know?
Absolutely.
Man, and so, like, but like you said, like, you know, you had those feelings of like, man, I kind of, but I'm not interested in the baby phase.
So you don't.
To where you can't.
So you could do the kid phase, the teenager phase, the young adult phase, but you just don't want to do baby phase.
If I can do, they start at 6. Right out the gate. They come out 6 years old, born with an outfit on, everything. Already completed the grades inside the oven.
They got the just chocolate milk in their hand.
Man,
they're just ready for
milk.
Life.
Come out chocolate milk first. And then they just get pulled out from there. Yes, but like that baby phase where you can't.
Is it because of the time? Is it like it takes
time? You can't take your eyes off of them. The traveling, the car seats, the diapers, this, that, and the third. It was just like, man, you can't look away for a second at a certain age on the kid.
Right. Oh, yeah.
You can't look away for a second. I'm like, I'm not looking for it. And plus, as much as I travel, it's just. No. And then I'll be feeling guilty
when
I'm on the road because I feel guilty with grown kids. Now, if we go back to square one, I'm going to feel super guilty. I'm on the road a lot.
Oh, yeah, because then I totally get that.
Yeah, so it's like, you know.
So you think you might be done?
Oh, yeah, I'm done. I'm out.
You out the game?
I'm out. Maybe adoption, maybe down the line or something like that. But because adoption, you know, there's plenty of kids that need a good home, you know.
Right.
And they already of age.
Yes.
Go in there.
And you can get one at the age that you want. So if you get like a 6-year-old, you can get one with the shoes. And
they ready made. these kids up for adoption are ready made.
They are ready to go.
Whatever age you need, they in there. They 19 at the orphanage.
So like, if you did get one more, so do you think you would, like, if you did adopt, if that was to happen, would you go a girl?
Yeah, I think so.
Is that that's just?
I think I would just, and not to be cocky, like you know, but I think I would be good for a girl. You know
I think
what I mean?
You would too.
Yeah, because I got the because I'm very mindful of like toxic traits,
right.
Within gender roles and how you know stuff people are treated based on gender and all of this. So I think because I've noticed like a real a difference between. You know, girls that have a tight bond with their fathers versus those that don't.
Absolutely.
Like, yeah. And there's always exceptions to the rule. There's nothing that's universal.
Right.
But, like, I've just noticed that. And, like, you know, I want to be that type of father to a girl. It's just, like, you know, a tight bond. And they can see, you know, how they want to be treated through the father, what they going to tolerate, what they not going to tolerate.
Exactly.
This, that, and the third. And so.
I'm telling you, man, that the bond that I have with my daughter, it's unlike any bond I have in this world with anybody. Like, it's just, that's like my best friend. We talk about everything, and she trusts me. Like, sometimes she'll even tell me stuff, and she'll be like, you can't tell mom. And I'm just like, what?
Right.
You know, I always got to find
Do you low-key feel good about that?
I do.
Yeah.
I definitely do feel good that she, you know, that she trusts me. And that's, I just never want to lose that because I think that's once your kid stops talking to you.
Oh. Because
you can't be around them 24 hours a day. Mm-hmm. That's when they start going and getting into other little different things.
They build the nuclear warheads in the garage.
And it's just a crazy
time.
They're
not telling you nothing. Man, that don't tell mom.
Oh, man.
That don't tell the other parent. You really feel like, man I'm really in here.
It, you really feel special.
Yeah,
like, man.
Man.
And I was like, why would you want to tell mom? She's like, my mom just doesn't understand. I'm just like,
oh, well, you know what? I'm here for you. I understand. Then you take a sip of an empty drink. There ain't nothing in that bottle, Dad. Anyway.
Side note, man, this is totally unrelated, but I just wanted to take a quick left turn in our conversation. I wanted to give you your props on something.
Huh.
You posted a picture the other day of, I think, a picture of you when you were 22, 23?
Yeah.
When you were bigger. I think you said you were 278?
I was 2... I was probably like 270. I was 270 plus in
Man,
that picture.
Shout out to you for the changes you have made to get healthy. It's tipped because, like, I feel like me and you are like on the same path in that, like, we're probably getting to the healthiest points of our lives right. later. Yeah. In our lives. And mm-hmm. I thought that was just so cool because I was just like, even because I met you back in like 08, 09, mm-hmm. and you were never big, but you were bigger than yeah. you are now. And so I just wanted to give you your props on that, man. Like, you know, you taking it seriously. I see you in the gym drinking your gallon of water a day, you know what I'm saying? Doing the vegan stuff, man. I'm just really, it's inspiring.
Oh, thanks,
you know what I'm
man.
Saying? Because Tony is like a very no-nonsense friend.
Oh, yeah.
So it's like, you know what I'm saying? Even like with my ups and downs and my weight loss, he's always just, no, you don't want it bad enough. Stop making excuses. Quit mm-hmm. eating all that filth. And I learned to appreciate where you were coming from.
Yeah.
But I just wanted to give you your props, man. I'm really proud that you're taking an active interest in your health, man, because that's important. And you don't see a lot of black men our age doing that. So
right.
I wanted to give you
And
your
you've
props
been on a roll lately, like a consistent roll.
Yes.
That'd be my main right. note with you. Like, you got to stay consistent.
Exactly.
I'll be in the background, in the montage. You got
to
stay
The crazy
consistent.
Thing is that I'll start to hear your voice in my head before I make a bad decision. Like, I'll be getting ready to eat some pizza, and you'll be like, don't boy, you don't want it. I'm like, shut up, Tony, make it.
Why you doing this? Why you doing this? And I looked at that because Serene, my oldest son, he took a picture of that. He's visiting his grandparents, and I guess that picture was there. And so he posted it on his Instagram, and I was like,
like, who's that fat guy?
Oh, I looked at him first, and I was like, oh, man, I remember he was there. I looked over, I'm like, jeez, that's me. And then I just took a picture of that because I was like, it doesn't even look like me. It looked
Bro,
like a different
you look
person.
Like a totally different
so I
person.
I was like, wow.
What do you think kind of went off in your head? Because I think I noticed you start to take an active interest in your health maybe 3-4 years ago. What kind of put the light off in your head to make
well
you
no
do
like
that?
So that picture right there, Serene looks like he's about one, so mm-hmm. we'll say it's 2001-2 and okay. so in 2003 I went to this healthcare place called Terra Rosa mm-hmm. and you know I just wanted to, you know, I got my blood work done because I wanted to lose weight. Okay. And then that's when I found out I was 272 because I had been
was that your highest
scales.
Weight
that I knew of, because I was avoiding the scale, because
okay.
I didn't want that cold reality.
Right.
So they weighed me. I was 272. They did my blood work. My bad cholesterol was high, mm-hmm. and so because I was just eating whatever. And right. so that's when I first got mindful of how to eat and when. So a lot of people think, you know, my change started just because I quit eating meat. No,
it was before that.
It started in 2003. That's okay. when I went to. So I went and they told me to calorie count. Mm-hmm. And fat count, and don't eat anything with over 10 grams of sugar per serving.
Okay.
So it taught me to read the nutrition facts of everything I was eating. So, because I was just eating whatever. Never looking at the back. Never.
Right.
Just like, and so once I started doing that, so I was avoiding a lot of certain foods, and I was exercising more. So I went from 272 to 217 in like 6 months.
Nice. So you were just on it.
Yeah. So I went all the way down. So a lot of people out here met me on the like
on the
between 217 and 230
right
range.
Right
so they never saw me at that level mm-hmm. and so I've always eaten that way ever since where I like, that's too much sugar every mm-hmm. now and then I would cheat. And so once you start doing your own math in your head, that's when you start slipping off again.
Right.
Like, oh,
you
no,
start
I
getting
can
comfortable.
Have this. Uh-huh. This is only this. And you,
it's
you're
just
doing your own math.
Right.
Yeah, I only weigh this.
Right.
And then that's why I weigh myself every morning now, because it'll hold me accountable for the day.
Bodybuilders do that. Because you were asking about that in our
yeah.
group chat. Mm-hmm. I actually know a lot of bodybuilders that do that. So
yeah,
because
it's
right.
like, all right, I'm 210 today. Let me take it easy.
Right.
And then, because when I do my own math, you hold on to the last weight you saw.
Mm.
Man, I'm only 207. And then you kind of slack
Slip
off.
It. That's
on,
true.
Yeah, and then you come back and the scale's like, you're
yeah.
217
we seen what you did last
yeah.
weekend.
Yep. So if you do it every morning, you're like, all right, let right. me take it easy today.
Right.
And so I've just been applying that because a lot of people think, and you know, in the comments they say that it's their vegan life. No, it's more than the vegan life. It's the
right because you were still
count.
A little bit heavier even when you had first started the vegan stuff, right?
Because a lot of people think vegan is automatic health. No, it's filth too. You know,
even as recent as last when we were on tour, because when you couldn't eat meat, you would just eat popcorn. Then you went to the doctor. That was like just a sodium.
My
bomb.
Sodium. I was a sodium bomb because even when I was doing that first initial weight loss, I wasn't looking at the sodium levels.
And all that makes you do is just hold water.
Man,
so it's like you could be working out.
Was ridiculous.
It was crazy.
Man, and so my sodium levels are good now, but I was just like.
And I can tell you hydrated out here, man. You're a very veiny guy, but then you only get the veins if you've been drinking enough water.
Good hydration, man. A gallon a day.
And shout out, let me give you one other prop. That's just I'm in a props-giving mood. Tony Baker, I have known since, and I tell him this all the like every couple years, it's always just a funny thing. I've known Tony Baker since 2008, and never one time has he had subpar breath.
Oh.
And most people will at least have one or two times. You're like, yo, you was wild then. But shout out to Tone. Like, Tone out here in these breath games.
Because I'm low-key OCD about breath. So I'm just OCD about it, so I'll make sure I'm on point. Because when people slip, I never forget it.
You'd be like,
man, March 18th, 2015.
I don't know what you ate.
Man, listen. Because it's like, you know, if I see you eat an onion sandwich, I know the source of the breath, so I'm good. And I'm like, I just saw you eat the onion sandwich. You dipped it in cheese.
It's understandable.
Yeah, you wash it down with coffee and you're smoking a cigarette. I can see everything as you walk up. But if you come around the corner, I ain't seen you all day.
You just whoop.
Oh, I'll never forget.
Now you just got more questions than that. Just like, man. What?
And don't let your breath be the first impression.
Oh.
Then you stuck with that.
That's just who you are.
That's who you are.
Funky mouth breath. Ted.
Yeah. Here come breath coming around the corner. Why you calling breath?
You'll see. You'll soon see.
It was that one day they were slipping, but that was the first day.
But shout out to you for those things, man. Those are things I always think about. Outside of the fact that you're one of the funniest people I know, I'll be like, man, this breath ain't never stank.
Oh, thanks, man.
Well, shout out to you,
try to be my. And plus, you know, we comedians. We share microphones.
Yeah.
Man. I hate getting on stage and the mic stinks.
Oh, so you've gotten the mic before? And
oh,
been
the
like,
stanky
woo.
Mics? That happens a lot. The stanky mics.
Because some people be having their mic, their mouth way
right
too
here.
Close. Yeah.
It'd be a rap concert. Like, so all that accumulation of different breaths on the mic. Imagine being a mic in your next life. In your next life, you are a mic with nostrils.
Oh, and just what if somebody's doing like an hour and that breath is just tanking.
Bruh.
Woo.
And you know, like if you do a 45-hour set, you just talking straight, your breath gonna run out of steam eventually throughout the set. And then it's just going to go in the straight inside.
Coming straight for the gut?
Man, the gut for real. Maya, what's going on over here?
Well, I'm going to show you a picture of the North Hollywood Ralph's, the toilet paper aisle.
Oh, my God.
Oh, you know what? I noticed they're going to put the picture up. It's empty. Yeah. I noticed that I went to Target the other day. And it looked like the paper towel and toilet tissue aisles were just ran through. And what? I was just like, maybe Target was doing something I didn't think. So people are buying toilet tissue in abundance?
Yeah,
they're
because
just stocking
of coronavirus.
For the quarantine?
Yeah.
Oh.
So they're thinking that we might get quarantined like France, you said, or Italy?
Italy got France Italy got France. Italy got quarantined as a country?
Yeah
they're all quarantined now.
Wow.
So they have to stay in the house?
No, you can go to the grocery store, but only 15 people are allowed in at a time.
Oh, wow.
Are we missing? Is this like the real life outbreak?
I feel like people are overreacting because I feel like it's the flu that's been here. The flu has been killing people year after year.
This is just the new flu?
The regular flu. So it's like, so I think it's just a version of that. But I feel like the media is causing this widespread, you know. And not to take the flu lightly.
Right.
Because it is highly contagious. But
I didn't know that people really be dying from the flu.
Yeah.
Apparently like 80,000 people a year die from the flu. I did not know that.
Yeah.
I've gotten the flu a million times. I've never thought I was close to death.
You know what? I don't know if I've ever had the flu knowingly, like, you know, and I've never gotten the flu shot.
But I guess this is my question. If the flu can kill someone, why do they give out flu shots? Didn't that potentially kill somebody?
I guess they, I don't know how the flu shot works.
It contains dead or weakened versions of the virus. So your body kills it, has the antibodies. So if you get the virus, you can fight it off more efficiently.
Oh, so it doesn't give you a fatal dose of it.
No, not at all. Okay. It's about 40% effective, too. So it's not like you're guaranteed to not get the flu.
So you could just get it because it makes you sick when you get it, right?
Yeah, because some they're people, giving you like a weakened version.
So you might just get it and then your body's still like, oh, we're going to get it again when it comes.
Yeah.
So you just got the flu twice.
Man. Yep. I've never trusted the flu shot for some
reason. Always thought there was something that they were doing. I thought they were like putting something.
I never trusted.
I've never gotten
this
one.
Fear of the government and mistrust.
Oh, yes.
Of the government. You know what I'm saying? You know, germ warfare, the smallpox blankets. Mm-hmm. You know, I think AIDS was man-made. I'm standing in that.
I think that you know, I
think they made it in the lab.
No, I'm telling you, I be having these theories in my mind. I be having theories that, you know, all that like DNA testing. Mm-hmm. I think that that's just a way to get all of our DNAs recorded.
I be thinking that too, but I want to know my lineage.
I don't know anything
I
about.
Know.
I know nothing about where I come from. That's what bothers me.
That's why I want the, you know, because my brothers did it and they sent me the stats. I was like, oh, but I want mine too. Then it's like stuff like that echoes in my head. They just trying to get you
exactly
the DNA. I was like, I want to know.
They actually caught a serial killer like that.
Really?
Through like it was like the Bay Area guy or whatever. It was like a really famous serial killer was caught because he was trying to find out.
No, it was
23 and Me.
Oh wait,
it was his brother or his cousin that took the test. Uh-huh. So since your brother got it, they could still put it on you because it's close enough a relation.
Wow. Really?
Yeah. He
so
didn't even take
the test.
So was
his brother, and then he just rolled like, hey, that's that guy.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
So his brother, the innocent one, was a suspect.
No, they had the
DNA on file. So his brother takes the test. It comes up as a hit because it's apparently close enough.
Yeah.
And then when they go to talk to him, he's like, hey, man, it wasn't me. They're like, well, who's your brother? That guy.
I'm confused. So, okay. One of them took the... Did they already have the killer's DNA?
They had the killer's DNA.
Oh, okay, gotcha. Yes. So when he did his 23andMe, we got the killer's.
Close. No.
Well, Steve.
It comes up as like a match, like it's 80%
like a soft
or whatever.
Match. Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
That's what I think that they're really... I think I don't trust these phones. You know that we never even... be reading what we be agreeing to, like to the terms of who knows? Like who has ever really sat there and read all 70
Nobody.
Pages?
We just be like, I want the app.
I
want
to talk on the phone.
We
now.
Do it all the time.
So I don't trust the government, man. I think that they up to something.
Y'all don't think they made AIDS?
I do.
I'm 50-50. You know I'm a conspiracy person.
Yeah.
You know
I figured you'd be in on this 100%.
I think it was definitely man-made.
I think it was man-made.
Now Lyme disease, that was weaponized in a lab.
Lyme disease. Pardon my ignorance. What is Lyme disease?
You know, in the Northeast, you get bit by a tick and then you're just weak for like 10 years.
For 10 years?
Yeah.
Jeez.
Justin Bieber's got it now.
Does he?
You have it forever and it's incubation.
From a tick?
Yeah.
Bieber has Lyme disease?
That's what he said.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you can get bit by a tick, a very small, and it can affect your life for 10 years and you have it forever?
Man. And you know what? It's funny because we had dogs that had ticks. So we were doing battle with ticks before because they're hard. They are notoriously hard to kill. And when you pull them off of the dog, you got to really dig in there. Make sure you get the head because their head can stay in there and still be. They can just regrow from there. So we were just like, because they had ticks galore. We was like, oh, God.
Oh, man, I got puppies, man. Don't tell me that.
Yeah,
no, man, I can't get ticks.
It's they're more prevalent. Like when... Yeah.
Oh, okay.
New England, yeah.
Yeah, but they were in New Mexico because that's where the dogs were that we had.
And then your dogs just sit there. They can't do nothing. They just getting feasted
on. They just getting, you know, blood sucked on all day. So we went in there just like, and ticks are disgusting.
What are ticks? Like, what are they?
Crustaceans.
So they're like roaches that fly?
They're tiny little crabs.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
Basically, they bite you and they suck the blood until they basically kill themselves because they've sucked too much.
Yeah. And they get
so
full,
too. Wait. They eat so much of your blood, they die. They
blown up to like grapes.
They blow up.
They just don't stop.
Out, like really tiny, and
Yeah. When you see one that's full, you actually see it's like a sack that just that's filled up.
Oh God, so it's so gross sounding.
When you come in, man, it's wild.
Oh,
because we were on the front lines. We had the door. We were, oh my God, we were still. And
how old were you doing this?
I was a teen.
Wow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was like, man, we got to get the ticks off the dick.
So there would be more something. Than one tick on a dog?
Yeah. Oh,
you'd
yeah.
have to take several of them off, mm-hmm. and then you would kill them when you took them off?
Yeah. Oh. Absolutely.
I hope my dog never gets ticks.
Absolutely. Yours is going to be inside dogs, so yes. These were outside dogs and, like, you know, they in
just,
and out.
They just had to do their best. They
yeah,
just out
yeah.
there.
I feel your dogs, you're just going to walk them, take them to the dog park, and then you're back in the house.
I love it. Plus, I have very little dogs. I have a Yorkie and a Maltese, and, like, I be afraid, like, when I'm out there, if people with big dogs, because, like, big dogs be, like, trying to hurt little dogs.
Oh, yeah.
And I be like, man, look, don't make it an issue.
And, like, if you lived in my neighborhood, the coyotes have been on 10 in my neighborhood.
They just beat, wait. Just coyotes just walking
coyotes.
Around? And they eat dogs.
Groups of, yeah. They'll try to trap the little dogs. They'll distract.
No!
Yes. They will be up the street. It'll be one, like, my neighbor told me this. She was like, I saw this lady walking with her little dog, and there was a coyote at the end of the street making noise. He's like, whoop, whoop. Whoop. And then he was talking to two coyotes up the block.
He was communicating.
He was letting them know, yo, it's a little dog coming. Be on the lookout. And she told her, get your dog and get the hell out of here.
What?
These coyotes, yes.
They got
calls.
They're
smart.
Yep. So they was basically like, hey, yo.
Yeah.
Fresh fish
Fresh
on the line.
Fresh feet on the yard, Clay boy.
So coyotes just be out walking in the streets of L.A.?
All the time.
I saw two coyotes in that Walgreens by the Ralphs.
The Walgreens?
In the parking lot.
Just walking around?
They're just walking
they
in the parking lot.
They are in the
lot.
Community.
Do they attack people or do they run away from us when they see us?
You can chase off a coyote. Yeah. A person
they're
could.
Small. They're like,
yeah.
They're not huge and like they look kind of young in the face and like the huge ears and they usually like run. They'll look at you and they just kind of, you know.
But they don't usually like be aggressive.
No, I never feel threatened by coyotes mm-hmm. when I see them in my neighborhood. And knowing, you know me.
A pack of them.
Yeah. They get brave when it's a group of them.
I just found this out. You might have known this. You guys might have all known this for a long time, but I found this out last year. Mm-hmm. Did you know that dogs are derivatives of wolves?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I talk about that on stage.
Isn't that so cool?
I talk about that on stage.
Like little wolves.
Yeah. But we're ruining them, in my opinion.
Why?
Like, we're making them less than what they were.
Mm.
Like, look how small they are, and they trembling, and they got all these illnesses. And, like, I feel like we're not good for the evolution of wolves.
Yeah, I never thought about it like that.
We're making them super dependent on us. We're just ruining this animal.
Because there are dogs that women literally put in their purse.
Oh, man, it's just like, come on, man.
And then, I never thought about that.
If they're out in the streets, they wouldn't know what to do. Like, if your cat gets out, it's still going to be like, I got a pigeon today. Right. I'm good.
I thought about that. Like, if my dogs ever just stumbled out of my...
They're going to be like...
I was like, y'all don't know how to fight. Y'all don't know how to go hunt.
Right.
But humans used to be badass, too. We're not.
Yeah, trash.
Now, I saw in the acrobatics championships, they have this little tiny guy. They were using him as a jump rope, the big guy.
They were using a guy as a jump rope?
Yeah, because in China, they just breed. So they breed him so he's like tiny. These two big guys, to win the championships, throw him around, use him as a jump rope for the fourth guy.
See, I don't care humans how small I am. As a grown man, you not going to use me as no jump rope. We got to fight. Square up, meet
man,
me in the
man,
back.
Man, just give me your wrist. Grab him.
Grab him, dude.
Grab him, dude. Yeah, man. It's like we're going down. The only thing about humans, though, we live longer now than we did back in the day.
We did used to hunt.
Surviving on our own?
No, it's like if you died in infancy, then that messed up the average. But a lot of these hunter-gatherers, they lived into their 70s with good teeth. Yeah. It's the average got messed up because you didn't make it to 5.
Wow.
I thought they were dying at like 30-something.
No, they're way stronger.
They're a 70-year-old caveman?
Yeah.
Really?
Because you see some 70-year-old guys are still super strong.
Yeah. They've been working the whole time. I feel like you working your whole life in the hunter-gatherer phase. You like, we got to eat. You're 65 out there with a spear tackling a strong
hella grays in your beard.
Yeah, you got to eat, right?
Now, I feel like we have become really dependent on technology. I realized not too long ago, if I didn't have my phone, I wouldn't know where to go.
Oh, man.
And yeah. I live in L.A., but, like, I literally, like, what did we do before we put the stuff in
we
our
had,
phones?
I used to have a big atlas that you would get from, like,
a Thomas guy.
The big, I heard about Thomas guy later, but yeah. I had the big atlas that shows you each state. And I would just follow that.
And you used to actually know how to read maps?
Yeah, yep. I was like, all right, we got to get on the 40. The 40 will take us into Arizona.
Bro.
I was and then there was MapQuest.
Right.
Where we had to print it out.
Print it out,
we left.
I remember that. Then it's just on your phone.
Now it's just.
I remember I used to work at AAA back in like 01, 02, before computers were really what they are now. And so we used to, like, when people used to call us, like, we used to have to get those Thomas guides and try to, like, find people. Now you can just literally send people the location. Like, but I think that it's making, much like you say with dogs, I feel like it's changing the evolution of men. I think, like, years later, you know what I realized recently? My handwriting is atrocious.
Man.
I can't even read it because I never
write. I can't even
write
for long periods of time. Like, my hand.
Bro.
My hand.
Bro, like I had to, this is when I knew it was trash. I had to write my daughter a note for school. And, like, I was writing and I was like, man, you just write it. I'm going to just sign it and put my phone number.
I wrote a letter to my landlord because I want new carpet. And I was like, you can write them a letter. And I didn't want to type it out. So I was like, my hand, it hurts. From a paragraph about carpet, I was like, carpal tunnel. My fingers hurt. That was that lady from Happy Gilmore.
I feel like that's what technology is doing to us. Like,
yeah.
Because there's so many things. Like, bro, I don't even know how to change oil. Can you change your oil?
Nah.
There's so many things.
I know it's easy. I watched my mechanic do it. I think I could do it in a pinch. I know where to go, where to unscrew it and let it leak out. I know where to do that, but
I don't.
I've never done it. I'll say that. But I think if I had to do it, I could do it.
When's the last time you changed a tire?
Probably like last year.
Last time I tried to change
last year.
I think it was because I had a cheap jack. Like I dropped the car on the tire.
Oh,
it was
wow.
I almost really hurt myself.
Wow.
Because I don't do these things.
Yeah. I can change tires. I've changed plenty of those. Yeah, it was like last year we were at Trader Joe's, me and Sabrina. I was like, came out with a flat. So, man, come on.
Did a part of you feel like you had to change it and not call AAA because you're a guy?
I always change the tire.
So you're always
good. Yeah, I've always changed tires. Yeah. Okay. So I feel good. Like when I do something in the car, like if I change the tire or I put in a new headlight, I'll be like, yeah. I'll be feeling fully bearded, shirt off. I got a spear, you know what I'm saying? A Jaguar at the end of the spear. I was like, yeah, I did that.
I'm telling you, man, I think it's weird because I'm starting to feel like, I feel like my man clock, like, is starting to tick. Like, there's certain things that I want. I feel like I want to chop wood, cut grass. I really feel like I need to move out of this apartment because just as a man, I feel like I want to just wake up Saturday morning and cut the grass.
Yeah. And technology has its benefits too. So now you can go on YouTube and learn how to do anything.
Mm-hmm.
So you can learn how to cut grass. Like Keon, he learned how to jackhammer himself so he can jackhammer the backyard. He was just like, he
learned
went
how
to YouTube.
Jackhammer?
Yeah, he had a full jackhammer. Never done it before in his life. Went to YouTube and did it. So
really?
It's like, yeah, so YouTube is there.
I ain't gonna lie, I learned how to roll a blunt on YouTube.
Yeah, anything you need, you can find it on the internet. So now, but that's the good thing about technology.
Right.
If we want to go back to really be hands-on, then we can. And then, and I be wanting to learn how to do stuff myself. I hate it when like people do it for me.
Yes.
I be like, let me learn. You know,
I just want to just cut some wood and then put it in a fireplace.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, I just feel like there's just really like instinctual man stuff that at the age of 40, I'm like.
And I feel like we're losing our directional capacity because we're relying on GPS now.
I cannot.
I'll be GPSing the simplest stuff. I'll just be like, I put in the
bro,
GPS.
I GPS in L.A. all the time, and I've lived here for 10 years. I GPS everywhere. I GPSed here, and I've been here a bunch of times.
Right.
But yep. I feel like it's dumbing us down and it's making us stupid.
I GPS. If I come here from somewhere else other than my house, I GPS it. And I've been here mad times.
But then what do you do when your phone dies?
It's just, I'm in Arizona, guys. I was trying to get home. You were six blocks away. I'm in Oregon.
He's said sit down.
Man, I knew it felt a little long.
You was driving for 10 hours.
It just felt different without the phone.
Yeah, there's a lot in our phones, man. I do be realizing.
Man, dog. What else is going on,
man? Yeah.
Well, a new study out of Ohio State shows that parents who are already anxious in their relationships are more likely to become jealous of a baby once it's born. Both partners, actually.
I've heard such studies as this, and I just don't understand. How could you be jealous of a child?
I mean, it makes sense, man. Humans are just jealous. It can happen. It can happen whether it's friendship jealousy, relationship jealousy, just, you know, the lack of attention. It's just like, I think it just happens to certain people. So I'm not really surprised, like, because they were already on shaky ground within the relationship, and now the baby's coming in.
Another person into it.
No, I'm just not. The baby's more important than me.
And then a lot of times, too, people will be having problems or trouble in their relationship, and they'll assume that a child will fix those things or bring them closer together. And then sometimes I think maybe it can have the opposite effect of what they were thinking.
Yeah. And I definitely feel like it's a bad thing to use a child as a fix-all or a band-aid. It's going to bring us closer together.
No.
You got to be solid.
If you had issues before,
man,
they're going to still be there.
Now, and now, you know, with a child, now you might bury those issues. Mm-hmm. Oh, with the baby, we got to take care of the baby. The baby, and you still got all this, you know.
All those other issues.
Unresolved issues just piling up underneath your soul, and then you explode when the baby. He's like eight.
Absolutely.
My parents were fighting, and then, you know, they just never vocalized anything until I was eight, and then that's when my life changed.
At eight?
Man, that's when I became a drug dealer. You know, and so,
that's when the Crips called.
Man, yeah, they called right on time. I just ran away. I was eight. I had a stick and a knapsack.
Two shirts and a He-Man toy in there.
I had a can of sardines for the sustenance. So, yeah, I'm not really surprised.
Yeah,
well, what would you do if your significant other became jealous of a baby that's already born?
That would be a tough one.
Yeah.
Because I also understand that postpartum depression is a real thing as well. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, women go through real.
And they say men get it too.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know
Chaz
that.
Chaz said he got
Chaz, it. Yeah, mm-hmm. Chaz was like, I think I got depressed after. So they never talk about the man side of it. But that happens as well.
Yo, fun. I mean, related but not related. I seen this thing on the internet recently, and it was like a study about like domestic violence and stuff, right? And it was like a hidden video show, and they had like a guy and a girl, right? And when the guy was like yelling at the girl and like being aggressive, like people would jump in, like stop, what are you doing? Women would stand up, men would say, hey, what are you doing?
Right.
But then when it was a woman that was like assaulting the guy, everybody was laughing at the guy and no one helped him.
Right.
So I feel like the reason why I say that in this situation, I feel like those double standards are real. Like you said, we never even think about men having, because I never even knew men could get postpartum depression.
Right.
But now hearing you say that, I'm like, wow, like that's just crazy because men's feelings are just as important. But I feel like, even like what we said in the beginning, like how we're taught very early on to suppress our feelings. We're not supposed to feel our feelings. I think that's definitely
And that the woman is the weaker gender, so they can attack us and we're supposed to take it as men. And like, you know, they can hit us, but we can't hit them back.
It was literally people laughing. Like, look at that, man. Ha, like, good for
her.
He's
soft.
Like, it was crazy. Yeah. Like, it's just a crazy thing.
Double standards is real.
There definitely are.
Out here.
Are physical differences between men and women. Like, even the same size,
true.
The man is more likely to be able to knock her out.
Right.
Whereas he could just be like, I'm done with you.
But still, but why is that? I think putting your hands on somebody is putting your hands on somebody. And I think that we should keep that same energy across the table.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Nobody deserves, you know what I'm saying, to be hit.
I think it's completely right for a man, if a woman hits him, to hit her back.
I'm not mad at that.
I'm game.
I tell my daughter.
Oh, yeah.
I tell my daughter.
You don't get a pass because you're weaker. That's like if a 5'7" skinny man sock me in the face. That's true. And I hit him back, I wouldn't be in the wrong. I'd be like, he hit me. It's the same with a woman.
But you can't, are you saying open hand or closed fist?
Whatever keep your instinctually hands to happens yourself. To me as a result of you punching me, whether it be an open hand, whether it be a quick, because a lot of times a hit back is instinctual.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's true.
So I might sock you closed handed. You know, in the moment, I don't know.
I tell my daughter that all the time. Like, I'm like, look, you know what I'm saying? When it comes to any situation with, you know, if you're dealing with somebody from the opposite sex, if you put your hands on a guy and you get hit back, you just got hit.
I mean,
that's why you should keep your hands to yourself. And you can't ever judge the reaction of what it is. Like he said, it's however he's feeling. So if you hit him, you might get the open hand, the punch, the hit with a bar stool, whatever happens. But you can't sit there with your face surprised because you started it.
You can't hit us with the how dare you.
How dare you.
No, well, technically, self-defense is you get to give an equal reaction back. Mm-hmm. So if someone were to slap you, you can't take out a gun and shoot them in most states.
Right.
But if a girl slaps you, you could probably slap her back and go to court and be like, yo, she hit me first.
Yeah.
Right.
And that would be
but
cool.
The thing that I've learned in the environments that I've been in is that you can never be able to tell how that person is going to react. So it's always best to err on the side of caution or just be able to go wherever it goes. Because I've seen things escalate really quickly. Mm-hmm. You'd be like, yo, that guy did all that. Well, maybe you shouldn't have.
You should never hit people. And no gender
your hands to
should
yourself.
Ever right. hit another
always
person.
Always a better plan.
So, yeah. Absolutely. Especially not someone you love. You say love them.
Yeah. Absolutely. Kudos to the guys that, you know, they take the repeated slaps and punches.
Oh,
and
yeah. Shout out to them.
They just take it. Yeah. Like, wow.
You know what I'm saying? You got a lot of self-control.
Man. And I think, like, if a clear-headed Tony, I could do that and try to, you know, find it. But in the moment, on the instinct, you know, it might be a quick snap back.
Yeah, because I don't like getting hit in my face by anybody.
Man, the hit in the face shuts the party down.
Oh. Yeah.
That shuts the party down. You know what I'm saying? Like, I had so many fights growing up because it would take it to a head hit. Like, we'd be playing, like, the body punches. I can take those.
Take the body shots all day?
Once you get hit in the forehead, like, all right, man.
All right, so you're one of those dudes where you're play fighting, then it's a real fight?
If I get hit in the head. Like, if we were already established the parameters, no head shots.
And then you take a
head
shot?
And then I get mad. Yep.
I don't know why I couldn't see you fighting.
Oh, man, I used to fight all the time.
Just
because
you're such a nice guy. Like, Tony is so nice. I feel like if you made him get mad enough to fight you, it has to be your fault.
Well, like as an adult, we don't play fight as much as grown men. Right. Like, we too grown. But, like, you know, growing up, that's all we did.
Right.
We just fought. We fought all the time. I used to fight all the time. And then I was like, all right.
What do you think your record was if you had to compile it?
My record is probably – I know I lost two fights.
No debating?
I lost twice to my boy Leon. You know,
so you went back for the re-up and he gave you the same business?
Because I would get mad. We'd be play fighting. I'd get mad. I'd fight for real. And I lost twice. Shout out to Leon. You know what I'm saying? He beat me twice. And then I lost to Adriana. She came on the porch. And
Wait. You got Adriana. Beat up by a girl?
Yeah, man. Adriana, man.
You said Adrian. I thought it was just Adrian. Adriana beat you
with
up?
With the lazy eye.
She put. Tell me this story.
We was on the porch on 36th Street, and her and her family was walking through, and I started roasting her and her family. So she came on that porch and socked me up a good two times. It was just a two-piece biscuit. I just took the hits and sat down. Adriana, man. You know what I'm saying?
Wait,
shout
she
out
was
to
walking
Adriana.
By, you tried to roast her?
I started it.
She came up, bop, and you just like, oh, roast this session
over. I'm going to sit down. I'm going to regroup. I cried a little bit. So Adriana got me. And then Tamika next door, she got me.
You got
she
beat
was
up
older.
By two girls?
Yes, man. These Chicago girls are a different breed, all right? Tamika, she was my next door neighbor, my boy Maurice's sister, and she was older than me, but we ended up fighting real, and then she socked me in the eye one good time at the end of the fight, and then I just gave up. I was like,
you just gave
I got
up?
A crush on her in the sock up. I was like, yeah. She hit me in the eye. I just laid there. You know,
I looked through my good eyes. She looked amazing. I got beat up by my sister one time. It was tough.
Oh, wow.
I got beat up by her
older
a couple
sister?
Times. My older sister.
Okay.
But it was messed up, though, because we were boxing with the boxing gloves.
Uh-huh.
And so we was fighting, and I was losing the fight
Yeah.
with the gloves on. So I got mad, and I threw the gloves off. Like, what's up? And then she beat me up with no gloves on.
I mean,
so
you
I was
know,
just
you
like,
wanted it.
I should have just took it with the gloves.
You said, what's up? And she showed you what was up and what was down. Yeah, man. So I definitely got four losses in there. And I would say I got a winning record, but I definitely got some defeats.
I didn't really. You know, my last fight, I was 19 years old. I got hit in the head with a Hennessy bottle.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Did it shatter?
No.
Okay.
Just, it was like, just caught me. I think I've only maybe been in like 15 to 17 fights. I think okay. My record's probably 11-6.
That's not bad.
I ain't never been stomped out. That's one thing I can say.
I have been jumped before.
You been jumped? Yeah, tell us the jumping story.
One time I was fighting Gerald Myers, and then we was fighting one-on-one. We was on the
you
ground.
Was getting the best
and then
of
they me? Jumped both of us while we was on the ground fighting. They was just stomping us out.
Why?
I was looking up like, why y'all do? We was already in mid-fight. As I was absorbing the stomp.
So y'all went from fighting each other to getting jumped on?
They were just so excited about a fight, they had to stomp us out. I was like, man, y'all that thirsty for blood. So I got stomped out then I got stomped out again just on the school.
But you was a big dude, so that was a lot of stomping that they
man,
would have to
Chicago,
do.
Size didn't matter or gender. It was just anybody could get
it. Anybody could get it at
anybody
any time.
Anybody could get this work. And so they jumped me. It started out like a play fight, then it got serious. And I was just like, man, y'all
don't you hate it when that happens? When man. Everybody's having a good time, everything is great, then every time, all of a sudden somebody's serious,
mm-hmm.
then somebody gets punched in the side of the head.
Socked out, stomped out. I've been through it all at this point. No weapons, though. I ain't been through the weapons.
Nah, not the weapons. But
man.
I don't know. I just felt like I got to a point in life where I just was like, man, fighting is just dumb.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's got to be a good cause.
It doesn't even prove anything. Because most times, it's like, if you're arguing or having a disagreement, the fight ain't the thing that you was arguing or disagreeing
right.
over.
Yep.
Like, you could be arguing over who's better, Tupac or Biggie. It's like, well, we're going to fight. Well, that has
square
no
up. Square up, man. Come on outside. Man.
I've actually seen that argument start a lot of fights.
Yeah, people get and somebody start yelling, be like, you ain't gonna be yelling. And be like, well, let's take it outside. And then they go outside. The cool part about fighting now is people record it so much.
That's
so now your sock up could be viral.
That is the I don't know if I could survive in this era as a child. Because they didn't have cameras. You could just lie your way out of it. Like, oh, you should see the other guy.
Yeah.
Nowadays, like, actually, we see him right here.
You on the shame room. Getting socked out by 5'5" dudes.
You know what I don't like? You know what I actually hate? And if there are any parents out here that have done this, I want you to just chill. I hate the videos of parents whipping their children.
Oh, yeah.
On like what? Yeah. Teenage children. Like, what? You should not be trying to go viral.
Nah.
Mom, dad, like, don't quit beating.
You want no evidence.
What are you doing?
Why do you want the evidence?
You just beat the kid.
You got to make sure ain't no cameras around when you discipline the kid. Come over here.
I see when the other day this lady was whooping her kid, and she was whooping him for whatever, and then she stopped, and he was just like, and he just throws up. And she hit him again. I'm like, what? She hit him for throwing up. I'm like, what are you doing, man?
And you know the cold part is we were raised like this.
Right.
We were getting these type of whoopings. It was just no cameras.
Exactly.
And now it's like once you see the video, you're like, man, this is what we went through as kids in the 80s? The arm hold up while you get
the whole midsection?
Woo, man. The man. Midsection.
Whoopings was tough.
Yeah, whoopings was out there, man. But my dad, he always focused on the cheeks, though. He never went up to the backside. It was always
just right there.
The cheeks. He always made sure that the cheeks was on full display before he went in for the impact. So I never got the back hits or the leg whelps. It was like the cheeks.
Did you whoop your kids coming up?
Yeah, only like, never a straight whooping. It'd be like a quick tap.
Right.
It'd be a quick in-the-moment tap, like boom. And I can count on one hand how many taps I delivered.
Yeah, I haven't spanked Kiara since she was 5.
Yeah.
Just because I didn't think it was an effective way. I was just like, children are actually just many versions of people. Like, they're not dumb.
Many versions,
you know what I'm
people.
Saying? Like, kids you can just talk to them, and
right.
they can apply what you're saying.
Right.
And I feel like when people just go too quick to the whoopings, I feel like that just shows a deficiency in the parenting.
Right.
Like, your communication is off. Cause
there's definitely, you know, alternative methods. Each kid is different. Like
yeah.
we said on this show before, every kid is a fingerprint. It's like, every kid, you got to
wow,
do
I
different
like
methods with each kid.
I like that.
You got to do different methods with each kid. Right. You know, some kids need the hands.
Some of them need them. You what know? I've learned about my daughter is that it's she like thrives in incentive based things. So it like if she's having an issue in school, she'll do better if I say, Kiara, if you get, you know, if you get a B in this class, you know, I'm gonna take you out to dinner, or you know what I'm saying? Versus if you get a D in this class, you're going to be grounded.
Right, right, right.
Like, she just kind of goes more for the positive incentives versus the fear of discipline.
Right. I know if I get D's, it's a wrap. Exactly. What about the good grades? You're just going to say good job. Like, all right.
Exactly.
Yeah, but that's dope. The incentive base.
Incentive base. It definitely works.
That helped me, like, as a kid. Like, I remember saying, for every B you get, I'm going to give you $20. I was like, I put my glasses on. I didn't do nothing, but still.
And that's what I really do with my daughter too. Like, I really like put the emphasis on education because it really wasn't given to me when I was young like that.
Right.
In my work, like when I grew up, it was just don't get nobody pregnant, don't get arrested before you're 18, and get a job. If you could do those three things, that was success.
You made it.
But it was never like, it was like college. It'd be like, wait, right? What? So I definitely try to, you know, instill that.
That's right. Dope, man. Oh, yeah. Her grades went up.
Oh, my God. Yeah. No B's. I mean, no C's.
Oh, that's
so she had all A's and B's on her first report card as a freshman. And second semester, we going for all A's. And I think she can do it.
She can get that, you know what I'm saying, that scholarship.
Yes. I want her to be able to get an academic scholarship.
Yeah, that's what Sincere got.
Yeah.
Like, man, good for that's you,
dope.
Man.
You got the academic
Scholarship?
That's so clutch. Dope. When I hear black children doing that,
yeah.
I mean, not that I'm not impressed when they get athletic scholarships. Right. But when you can get it off the muscle of your mind,
that's not highlighted in the black community it is with the, you know, the athletic scholarships. Like, oh, you know,
right.
But man, the academic scholarship—that
means you did your work and you held it down to enough to where they said just based on how good you are in the classroom,
right?
Man, you ain't even got to pay. Man, come on.
Yeah,
I love
that's
that.
Outstanding.
That's dope.
That's hard
black
to do.
Excellence. Mm-hmm. I like that, man.
You got an academic scholarship.
No, I went to my skate school, my state school.
Okay. Wow.
I got some scholarships, but I was just like, I'm going to URI. It's a perfectly good school.
Nice.
I got an academic scholarship.
Did you?
In the streets.
I never even went. I went to college for like 2 weeks. I went and got the financial aid check. Once it came through, I was like, man, I'm going to try to get some
What'd
birds.
What'd you buy?
I was buying Jordans. I bought some rims for the Mustang I had. Because I just did not have any value on education. And you know another reason why, as I get older, you know another reason why I realized I hated school? Mm. I got bullied.
Oh, okay.
And that could give you a negative connotation of a place. If every time I go here, I got to either fight or get roasted and talked about crazy, I'm like, I don't like this place. And then in my family and the life, nobody's sitting there like, you got to do this.
Right.
So I was just like, man.
What's the point?
Yeah, I was like doing the bare minimum just to get out of there.
Did you get bullied in college as well?
I didn't go to college.
Oh, okay. You literally, the 2 weeks.
Yeah,
you didn't even
I went to college. I went there for maybe, it was a junior college. I went to Consumers River College. College in Sacramento, I went for maybe 2 or 3 weeks, literally.
Wow, literally.
And, but I, you know, I didn't really get bullied in high school, but elementary.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. Even in middle school. I was a fat kid, so I was big, but I was scary.
Mm.
You don't want to be those two things.
Right.
Not in the hood. You can't. You know what the nickname they used to call me? Big for nothing.
Big for nothing.
Big for nothing. I hated it.
They called you that when you walked in.
Yeah, big like, oh, for I go big for nothing. He ain't finna do. He ain't finna bust a grape in a fruit fight.
Dang, dog.
Yeah, so that was life.
Man.
Let me ask you though.
Yes.
Do you think bullying helped you develop character?
Absolutely.
Or if you could go back, would you say I don't want to be bullied?
That's a very good question. No, I wouldn't change anything because I know if you change anything, then I don't become the person that I become. So, and I'm glad that the person that I became. But I think in looking back at it, it gave me a lot of character and it made me understand what my strengths and my weaknesses were. So when I knew that I wasn't a good fighter, but then I started to realize I had a good sense of humor and that can kind of keep people at bay. Like, you know what I mean? So I think a lot of my deficiencies that I dealt with growing up, it helped shape and strengthen other areas. So I think the fact that I got bullied probably made me become a really, really funny person because that was the way that I dealt with it, you know, coming up.
Would you want your daughter to experience any bullying?
No.
Even if it made her a better person?
No. Because I know that the issues that I grew up with, it took a very, you know, I had to be really mentally strong to get through that. Like, you know what I mean? And it showed up in different places. Like, I couldn't control my weight, you know. And then when I got weight loss surgery, I couldn't control the drinking because I was trying to self-medicate because of how terrible it made me feel. So even mm-hmm. though I'm happy now that I was able to kind of go through all those things and going through them, it was like, I don't know if I'm going to make it through half of this shit, because it's mental anguish that you can't even start to understand. So I wouldn't want anybody to deal with that. Like,
bullying sticks with you, man.
Oh yeah,
because I got bullied for my size, and it stuck with me. I was a bully, and then I got bullied, and I was like, oh man. So I saw the value.
You were the bully first.
I was the bully initially. Like even the fight with Adriana, it was just like uncalled for.
Right.
You know, and so I was Bully McGee. That guy I was fighting where we both got stomped out, I was mm-hmm. a bully on him. And so when I went to a new school, I became the prey. The bully.
The predator became the prey.
Yes, and I was like, man, this is a valuable lesson. Right?
I now know what I put them through.
I know the energy I'm putting out there. And so, mad valuable, but the moments that I did get bullied, it stuck with me. Like,
right.
You know what I'm saying? My insecurity about my weight, all mm-hmm. of this, you know. And it's a bad feeling. And I'm just like, man, but how bad did I make other people feel? It's like that movie Flatliners when, you know, I don't know if you ever seen Flatliners. It was a story about, you know, they figured out a way to come back from death.
No, I have not seen
that. They would die and then be brought back to life. And when they were brought back, they were haunted by, you know, what was waiting on them in the afterlife.
Oh.
So, like, and in Kevin Bacon's character, he bullied a girl when he was in school. So when he got brought back, he was seeing visions of this girl just bombing on him verbally.
Damn.
And so that made him, you know, find her and go apologize.
And right that wrong.
Yeah, so it was like that. And I was like, oh, man. So I had my Flatliners moment.
I got to go watch that movie.
Yeah, it's good.
That
it came out like 1990.
They
made a remake that nobody watched.
Oh, nobody watched the
yeah. But watch the original. Kiefer Sutherland, Julia Roberts, Kevin Bacon.
Flatliners. I'm going to watch that tonight.
Flatliners. It's a good time. It's creepy. Because like Kiefer Sutherland had the worst one because it was this kid that they ended up killing on accident.
Oh.
His vision was actually beating him up.
Oh, dang.
Yeah, he was getting socked up.
Oh, so it was messing with his head.
Yeah, yeah. So and then Julia Roberts had one of her father.
Well, don't tell me the whole thing. I want to go watch it.
Flatliners, you know what I'm saying? Check it out.
I'm gonna go watch it for sure.
Anyway, we gotta get out of here because we are way past the time.
All
I like to do an hour and then.
All right. Well, thank you for having me, man. It's always
man,
good talking
through.
To my good friend, Tony.
Thanks for
Brady,
coming
man.
Through, man.
Currently writing a film for you right now, so y'all will hear about that soon to come. Me and May. So, yes, mm-hmm. we're out here.
That's right.
Tell them where they can find you.
You can find
plug
me,
everything.
Okay, you can find me on all socials at I Am Doughboy, IAMDOBOY. My YouTube is I Am Doughboy TV. You can check out my podcast with Kev on Stage, Righteous and Ratchet, available on all platforms. And, yeah, man, I'm just here for the people, man.
Man.
Thank you for having me.
Remember, if you guys have questions, you can ask us in the comments section on YouTube. We'll tackle them on the show. We didn't get to them in this episode, but you know we're going to get to them eventually. For we sure. went over. It's an hour and six.
I like to talk. What can I say?
No, it was great. It was great. You can find me everywhere at Tony Baker Comedy on everything. I will be in Cincinnati this weekend, all weekend, at the Liberty Funny Bone, six shows, Thursday through Sunday. Pull up. Albany, New York next weekend. Pull up, you know. And West Nyack, New York, first weekend of April. So pull up.
You out here for real.
In Chicago for one night only, March 28th at the DuSable Museum. Pull up.
I think I might pull up for that show. I just want to see you rock.
In Chicago?
Yeah, I think I might just come out there just to see that show.
Okay.
Yeah. I want to see you perform in Chicago.
Pressure's on.
That'll be fun. I think I'm going to pull up for sure, man.
Anyway, thank y'all for tuning in, and we out here.
Boom. And what day is your...